Greetings, children of the solstice. Gather around the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
Hello, neighbor. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Mr. Rogers had it right, noting when friends become neighbors and vice versa. And then there's the neighbors from hell.
Hell.
And now, Daryl, Lisa, and Shelley.
Welcome to Witchy Wednesday. We are Good Witch, Bad Witch. Thank you for coming to another episode and listening to us. I'd like to introduce you to our cast of characters. We have the one lady who's like the aunt that is the fun aunt that you never really wanted. It's Shelley, the Good Witch.
She's the flant.
Highly fucking ho.
Oh, there's that bad mouth right there.
That's kind of aunt I want, one that cusses. Sailor aunt.
I guess. We also have the man that pees sitting down. We have Daryl.
Secret, sister, secret.
You just gave it away. You could say that's not true.
Why lie?
Do you ever fall asleep on the toilet, man witch?
My life is like a book. You can buy it at the Temu.
It's the man witch, Daryl Brown. And I am your bad witch, Lisa Brown. Thank you for coming to Anaya. Keep saying
she pees standing up.
I pee standing up and with one leg up in like a male dog. Today we are going to be talking about neighbors, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But before that, we'll get into our intro, which actually does have to do with neighbors. I'm going to ask my fellow witches, friends, and cohorts. You guys, if you were to live in any fictional neighborhood, like in a TV or movie, who would you want to live next door? Who would you want to be your neighbors?
May I?
Yes, please.
My first instinct when I saw this was I would like to live in Chicago, like all the young, sexy doctors in ER.
Oh.
Because it's like, oh, you're zooming around and walking around and everybody's like young and skinny and stressed out. And there's really good food in Chicago. Mm. But now there's really good food everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to do that, I don't want to walk around in the snow.
True.
So I chose Tremé. I don't know if you guys ever saw that, but the neighborhood outside of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm going. They had some shitty neighbors, robbing the bar, rapey, terrible neighbors. But also some of your neighbors are chefs and musicians.
True. Mm-hmm.
Fun
Pick
neighbors.
Your battles. Tremé.
Yeah,
okay. Beautiful. That's a good one.
Thanks.
Gosh, there's so many to think about. You know, would you want to live next door to the Brady Bunch? Or would that be too kind of...
They were up to too much hijinks.
Marsha. Yeah. You know, or would you want to live like down from Chrissy and Janet and Jack and all that mischief, hanging out at the old
Regal Beagle?
Regal Beagle.
Oh my gosh, that would be the best. You know? Would be great neighbors.
But
Mr. Roper is always putting the kibosh on their friend.
Yeah. Sneaking
but we
in.
Don't live in his building, so. I mean,
they would just be our
neighbor. They would just be our next, so we don't have to worry about
the Ropers live down below everybody.
Right, but we'd live in another building.
Like,
well,
hey,
if you're going 70 sitcoms, I'd love to live by the Captain Isaac or Gopher because they're never home.
True.
On the love boat.
True.
That's or awesome. Maybe you could live next to him on the love boat.
That'd be
ooh,
very
there
nice.
You
be
go.
Like,
a lot of people live on boats. Yeah.
I wonder, did they ever show their quarters other than Captain Steubing? He had a huge quarter.
I think he was the only one. Maybe Noel Doc. That was just his office. So.
Yeah, it was his office.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the captain was always bringing eligible ladies to his quarter. Come on, Gavin McLeod.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's not realistic.
He got a lot of tail.
This is a fantasy island. What the F?
Oh, speaking of fantasy island, that wouldn't be a bad if you lived
if you
next
lived
to
on the island.
The Mr. plane.
What was his name? Mr. Rourke.
Yes. Or if your name was
I almost
was
said
Lana.
Mr. Ryobi.
Mr. Ryobi. He lived next to the vacuum guy.
Yeah, he's the power tools, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I don't know where I wanted to live, but you and I had seen separately that holiday movie called The Holiday, mm-hmm. where they did the house swap.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind living in that little English garden
Isn't
neighborhood.
It funny, if you guys haven't seen The Holiday, which is a Christmas movie, it's so cute. It's like one of my favorites.
Oh, that was a fun little awesome. Area. Yeah,
it's just not overdone or whatever, but there's one girl who lives in this cute little like
cottage
that looked like a mushroom. It was so adorable.
Yes.
And then the other girl lived in this really huge mansion in Beverly Hills, and I would much rather live in that little cottage. Yeah. It was cute.
I'd start reading again. It had so many nooks.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Well, that is kind of the people I really thought about, but who I'd like to live next door, and it'd be the Keebler Elves.
Oh, oh yes.
Fuck yeah, man.
Huh? Hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar? I know you have sugar.
You have chocolate chips. I know you do.
They're like, why do you need sugar? I'm Give making some cookies. They're like, why didn't you just ask for some cookies?
We have cookies. Here, take these home. But yeah.
That would be a nice neighbor. Awesome.
Yeah. Those are great. Okay. So
how about you?
So who would be the worst?
I just said that I want to live by Mr. Rourke.
Yeah. Mr. Rourke. Okay. Yeah.
In Hawaii. Yeah. Is that where it was? In Hawaii?
I'm assuming. Fantasy Island has to be in Hawaii,
I would assume. Yeah. So who do you think would be the worst neighbors?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, dude. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh.
Certainly.
Oh, God. Stinky Stink.
Stinky Stink. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, guy.
That would, you know who else? The people in Shameless.
Oh, yeah.
That
would be No, that would be a hoot.
No noise and chaos.
If I lived across the street, you just imagine you'd just sit on your porch and you'd watch them all the time. Because all the shit that's going on over there.
No.
Or Kevin and...
Kevin and V.
Oh, that would be a sexy watch. Yeah, I'd be a nosy neighbor for them.
Yeah.
For yeah.
sure. While he's having sex with his
mother-in-law. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. And the Russian lady.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were a thruple for a minute.
Yeah, and it was so funny because Kev never wanted to do it. He just did.
Yeah.
Because he's like, did whatever V told him mm-hmm. to. So
weird. He was a good boy.
Yeah, he's the only one in Shameless that I didn't hate.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, I hated every single person in Shameless.
They were all extremely hateable.
Yeah.
Even, what's his name?
Yeah, all of them.
The young little black kid? What was his name again?
Carl. No, not Carl. Like,
No.
What was his name?
I can't think of it. I can see his cute little face though.
Yeah, it was the most
white name.
It was very Irish. Like Liam.
Liam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call. You got there. Lisa got herself
Liam.
There.
Well, Liam Neeson is in the news right now, so
he
you know.
Is.
But yeah.
What did he do?
He's dating Pam Anderson.
Ooh.
That's the rumor, but it looks like they might be. And like,
God.
Yeah.
You heard it first. You're a good witch, bad one. We're here to spill the middle-aged tea. I totally want to go to the theater to watch Naked Gun 2. So if you guys want to
really?
Sign up, let me know. Oh, my God. I love those. I'm punny.
What was it?
Naked Gun 2.
Oh, yeah.
Liam
that's
Neeson
funny.
Plays,
yeah, I love him.
Frank Drebin's son, grandson.
You guys have fun.
Okay, we will. Yeah, we will. Cool. I'll buy the popcorn.
Okay.
I want to live next door to Shelley.
And what about like full, not just good neighbors, but a great neighborhood? Like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood?
Mm.
I love my neighborhood, and this is why.
Uh-huh.
Because they all knew my parents for 40 years, mm-hmm. and everybody's got an eye out, but I don't think they're too nosy. So, I've never shoveled our walk. Not
wow.
once. Yeah. And now that they're like, well, your parents are gone, but you're able-bodied. Get to shovel your own book.
Right.
But, we'll bring over cookies or something every once in a while because they do that. But they shovel our walk. If I have anything broken, they'll come help out.
They
Everybody's
bring
like an
advice.
Arm?
Yeah.
The gal behind.
Put you in a sling?
The gal behind her brings a crock pot meal every once in a while. Remember, I did buy the crock pot.
Right. Shelly just keeps it mine.
They're lovely. The only thing I don't like about my neighborhood, and it's just a regular old suburb and, just regular old America, but the people across the street always hang out in their garage.
To the west of
you. Yes, with their garage door open and just kind of people watching stuff. And they do things, but... Usually, I am self-conscious and I can't mow my lawn in front of them because my dad, being who my dad was, I just assume that somebody's going to come over and criticize me, and they have before. So it's like, well, maybe if you used, vertical strokes instead, I'm like, you're lucky I'm even doing it. Fuck off. But they're lovely. They're nice people.
That's funny.
Yeah. What about you guys?
What fictional neighborhood would you want to live in?
Neighborhood.
Yeah.
I think it would be a fun one to live where the Goonie kids lived.
Oh,
that seemed like a really cool area.
Uh-huh.
Was that San Francisco? What was that area? Was it
I didn't
Seattle?
It might have been. San Francisco would be a good fake one.
I think that the Swiss Family Robinson
neighborhood. Yeah, or like the Sandlot kids.
Fun. Yes, or Tarzan's neighborhood.
Monkeys.
Shelly just wants, can I get a free ride?
Sesame Street.
Oh, my
to
God,
live
the
on
best.
Sesame Street, that'd be fun.
The best neighborhood. Because
Muppets are
anytime.
Fun.
Oh, the best.
Lisa wins. Sesame Street's
walking
best
down the street. Okay. Yes. All, thank you.
Yes. Here's a question that has nothing to do with anything.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that there was a dog that it was like a new character on Sesame Street?
Barkley.
His name was Barkley first, but it was Woof Woof. Or no, his name was Woof Woof first, and then they changed it to Barkley.
No, I didn't know that.
Which one do you like better?
Barkley.
I like Barkley.
I do too.
Yeah, because it's a be barking.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah. Woof Woof sounds.
Woof Woof what?
I don't know why they changed it, but I remember.
When did they change it? Do you know?
It was very soon after they.
But they kept the same big old fluffy dog, and they're like.
Yeah, but they're just like, all of a sudden his name wasn't Woof Woof anymore.
Yeah.
And I was very confused as a child.
They took like a Nielsen survey or something. And everybody's like, Woof Woof.
I don't even know if it was like, for some reason in the cockles of my weird child memory, that they like had like some kind of contest like on the show, like all the kids. Like went and they're like, what do you guys think? Should we keep Woof Woof or do you want Barkley? And then they changed it to Barkley.
Yep.
But that could be, I don't know, it's been like the 3 or 4 years since then.
Has spoken.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my Sesame Street knowledge for the day.
Best neighborhood.
Yeah, the best neighborhood.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Even better than the Mr. Rogers neighborhood that you mentioned earlier. That would be nice, but not as nice.
You don't never seen the neighborhood, though. You just saw the people coming in to house.
Yeah, sure. You'd see the little where the trolley went and stuff
but
like that.
But that's not part of the neighborhood.
The neighborhood that they showed was all fake buildings and fake cars.
Right. And yeah. They were way too little for anybody to live.
I like Sesame Street where everything's 100%
real. You'd be like King
Kong. Right? Yeah.
Come on. What about the Beetlejuice and the neighborhood that Beetlejuice came out of?
Oh, no way, Jose.
Too scary. Okay, we will be back with the meat after this message.
Dinked.
Won't you be now? Won't you be my fucking neighbor?
Welcome back, witches, to the meat.
Meat. We changed our meat from the meat.
It stands for Middle Entertainment and Treats.
Yes, it does.
It does. But it's also the meat of the program. Mm-hmm. You have the intro, which surprisingly comes at the beginning.
That's
we'll wrap
bun.
It up at the end.
With the extra.
That's right. But in the middle, it's the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so the name of this episode is Neighbors. And we talked about neighborhoods, fictional and otherwise. But can I tell you about like the worst neighbor that I ever had?
Please.
Sure.
Criminally bad neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So when we lived, when we lived in Georgia, it was the 70s, it was the South, everybody was an a-hole, and there was just racism abound everywhere. And I've said on the show many times, you know, we were persecuted, sounds a little harsh, but we weren't well-liked because we were Yankees. You know, we were above the Mason-Dixie line or whatever, where we were from. And, you know, we entertained people of different races. So anyway, whether that had anything to do with any of this, we had these neighbors called the Gossetts. And just to paint you a picture of the Gossetts, bless their hearts, and by that mean burn in hell. Joy Gossett had the 70s glasses where they were like round and then they had the sides went way down like a swoop.
I had
and
those.
Then they came down.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had the gold stickers that were letters that spelled joy on her glasses.
Yep. I had a big L like Laverne.
Exactly. A good swoopy L.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she had kind of an underbite like, and then she had like a greasy mullet before, it was right before mullets were becoming a thing and just like super short in the front, stick straight and greasy in the back.
She was ahead of her time.
Way ahead of her time. Oh, joy.
Joyce
where are they
bad,
now?
Yeah.
And then her brother, whose stupid name I don't recall, looked almost exactly like her, but without the glasses.
Mm.
So anyway, that jerkhead, first of all.
Were they kids? Or were they the adults?
No, they were the kids. I don't remember anything about their parents except for this next part of the story.
Okay.
So everybody, none of us had fences. And this is how we talked about one day you woke up, you had a dog. Or one day you woke up and your dog didn't feel like living there anymore. Or whatever. But
it was
70s no fence times. Well, anyway, we would leave our toys out in the front yard because it was, you know, kind of the rural suburban South and you just didn't think about it. And you may or may not have had a garage and yada yada. But I remember we would just come home on our bikes and just throw them in the front yard, and you went in for dinner and you didn't think about it ever again.
Right. Until you got on them again.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, anyway, I had gotten a new skateboard for either my birthday or Christmas, and it was neon green, and we had a big old, we had two big hills in the neighborhood, and we didn't have pads or helmets or anything because that's just for sissies. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
But anyway, so I was playing around on my skateboard. I really liked it. Monty was trying to teach me, you know, tricks and technique and safety-ish. And anyway, well, one day the skateboard was gone. And one of my brothers said, well, I think the gossets took it. And I'm like, well, I'm too scared to talk to him. And, you know, I'm a little girl. My mom's like, I'll go talk to those hillbillies just a second. And so Cager's, you know, walks over there and they're not answering the door. She knocks and does the doorbell. They're not answering the door. She looks in their garage where my brothers had said that they had put it, and it's right there. Mm-hmm. It's the only neon green skateboard in the neighborhood. And so the next time she saw them, she's like, I think that you might have thought that maybe it was one of your kids, but I think you have Shelly's skateboard in your garage. Nope, never seen her. I don't know what a skateboard is. You're a bitch. You know, whatever.
Wow. Like,
I call Cager's a bitch. And so anyway, they were already our mortal enemies. So there's, you know, friction in the neighborhood with the skateboard gate. Anywho, we had at this current time, we had a little fluffy mutt, kind of a cockapoo-y maybe looking, all black. Her name was Mitzi. Anyway, Mitzi was playing out in the front yard as Mitzi was wont to do. Well, whatever that shithead's name was, Joy's brother, he had a motorcycle.
Oh, no. Well, I don't want to know this story.
He came down the hill, did a wheelie onto Mitzi's head. Worst neighbors ever. And we moved shortly thereafter for lots of reasons. But my mom, I think that was kind of the straw on the camel's back where she's like, see, Jim, it's hell. We live in a living fucking nightmare. Yeah. Let's go back home.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Oh, so you lived here before and then moved out there?
I was born in Colorado.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Okay. But the gossets, the worst.
Oh, my goodness.
I have more, but we can circle back.
Lou Gossett Jr. has no relations to him.
No, not even close.
Hmm. Well, kind of like, you know, we've talked about enough on the show where me and the tech witch, Paul, grew up in North Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Great neighborhood. Everybody looked out for everybody. You know, we were little guys. We could walk everywhere that we wanted to. So I wanted to fast forward to my adult life. And one of the funnest little places we ever lived in, me and Lisa lived in a little house, a little two-bedroom house, one bath, across the street from St. Anne's Church, where God was our landlord.
Oh, yes.
And it was cool. He was a cool neighbor, God.
Yes.
He'd ring this bell every hour on the hour.
Did you tithe
your rent? It was actually every 15 minutes.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, they changed it because it was every 15 minutes. Then it went to, like, beginning of the hour and the half hour. And so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I used to love that little dung, dung. And Lisa goes, oh, God. And she goes, I've heard it because she worked at Legends over there, and you could hear it at our work. She goes, it's kind of endearing. I like it, you know.
Kind of small town-y. If it, like, because at the hour, it would ding four times.
Yeah,
it was like at the 15 minutes, it was one.
Uh-huh.
Then it was two, three, and four at the hour.
Okay.
And so if I was, because it was only a block away, if I needed to go to work and I was running behind, when it started ringing, by the time I got to work, it was done. So I knew that, I could get there in the four. Ding, 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 ding.
And the funny thing
nice old-fashioned timer.
She would drive to work.
I would, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes you had things.
We just lived right behind the work, but no, that was one of my favorite places to live. And like I said, we didn't have no neighbors. We had
the
church parking lot. Mm-hmm. But during a certain time of the year, we gained neighbors because the St. Anne's feast would happen.
Oh yeah,
and people would come,
the harvest festival.
The harvest festing. But people would come and want to park, and they'd come knock at our door, and they're like, can we plug into your house? Because they'd have like a motorhome or something.
Okay.
And we actually had people that would pay us.
They'd give us 20 bucks.
Hey, we'll get, if I give you 20 bucks, can I use your, you know, tap into your water and tap into your electricity? I'm like,
everybody
sure
wins.
Enough. No problem. But one time this jackhole in a huge semi comes blowing through the parking lot and knocks down power lines.
No. Phone,
yeah, everything. We're sitting there and we're watching TV or something. Our whole house goes black. We had a big old fish tank that goes. Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, no.
So I go out and I'm looking, and here's all these lines down, and there's this semi truck. And the guy's standing outside the truck just looking around. You're like, what the hell? I didn't see those. So
was it winter?
No, it was dead summer.
Okay, so your AC goes out.
Yeah, everything went out.
We were mostly concerned about the fish.
The fish, yeah.
Oh, you know, sure.
We're like, you know. So I go over, and I think it was like when we did we have a cell? No, we didn't have a cell phone. Mm-mm. I was just out there with a pen and paper writing down a number, and the guy goes, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I go, I'm going to call this number on the side of your truck there, because that's your business, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And tell them that I, you know, I don't have any power.
Yeah.
And if I get to lose all my tropical fish, they're going to have to pay for it. He goes, please don't call him. I'll take care of it. Please, but please don't call.
How did he take care of it?
I don't remember.
I think he just gave us like a 50 and said, here you go. And we're like,
and we bought new goldfish because we didn't really have them.
We got new goldfish that we just won at the Harvest Fest the night before.
We won them at the Harvest Festival. No.
It was really just a box of crackers.
Yeah, I go, I have tropical fish in
here. It was fish sticks. Yeah.
But that was the craziest thing, dude. Was like, I mean, we'd have just weird stuff happen, you know. We had the neighborhood drunk Stan the Man that we would wake up and he'd be sleeping on our
porch.
We had a bench on our front porch, uh-huh. And I'd go out and say, "Hey, Stan." But hey, boss, how's it going? I'm like, "Yeah, you probably want to get moving on." He goes, "Oh, did I fall asleep here again?"
Again? He's like Otis. And yeah. Mayberry.
Oh, that's what we said. But and then,
thank goodness he was harmless.
Oh God,
our bed was so safe.
Yeah. He was a big huggable guy. Yeah. But and then there'd be times when we'd feed the kids outside, uh-huh. You know,
because we didn't have a big enough kitchen.
For the table, so we'd put a table outside and they'd eat on the front porch, eat breakfast and stuff. And the people going to church would look over and go, "Oh, those poor kids! Look at them!" And
they're in their jammies.
They're living their best life. Yeah, sounds like a great. I loved that house.
Yeah, it was so fun. Daryl said it was two bedroom, but it wasn't really two.
Well, it was one bedroom with like a sitting room and then a front room.
Yeah, but the front room and the sitting room, like, there wasn't a door between them. It was just kind of two. Like, so
a doorway.
Yeah, yeah. It was like four rooms, but those two rooms kind of connected.
Yeah, because it had a kitchen.
Yeah, and then there was a bathroom in the back.
Yeah.
Do you remember your square footage?
I don't.
No, I wish.
I remember
400 or something.
I remember we paid, probably close to that. Yeah. If we were lucky, yeah.
It was perfect. That little porch was so precious.
We lived there for, what, 4 years?
Uh-huh.
And we paid $375 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yep. And God was our landlord.
God was our landlord. Yeah, because we rented it from one of my clients' dads, and he sold it abruptly, like within the first month, uh-huh. to the church.
Yeah.
And so one day, Daryl was at work, and I went up to La Dolce Vita to get some coffee.
Right.
And I came back, and these people were in my house. And I was like, "What's going on?" And they're like, "Oh, we bought this house." And I was like, "Well, we rented it, and we paid for a year lease."
Yeah, a phone call would have been nice.
Yeah, and stuff. I was like, "You can't just come into my house. Like, that's weird." And they're like, "Well, we're the pastors," and I was like, "I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're God himself. Don't just come into my house."
Exactly.
And so
God would have known.
Probably.
Yeah. That's rude. Yeah.
But yeah, so they had to give us that year. And then afterwards, they re-upped us for a little bit.
Yeah.
It was like four years altogether.
Yeah. And they're like, you know, "We're not going to raise the rent or anything." Yeah. And then they're like, they came and told us, they go, "Well, we got to have you guys move." And they're like, "Why?" They go, "Well, there's been a gas leak underneath the house that just got discovered." And we're like, "Okay." And then like, they let the house stay up for about another year, and then they leveled it and made it into the parking lot. But
yeah, we'll be fine with the gas for a year.
Yeah, yeah, we like that.
We
didn't. Smell.
We moved out first. But yeah, one time when we were first moved there, we were painting the walls, and we had the doors all open, and this cat came in and jumped in the paint.
Yes.
And then ran out the front door, and we had little green footprints all over.
Yes.
It was so funny. It was before the carpet, thank God.
That was almost a Sesame Street neighborhood, because you had all the cute little shops. Uh-huh. It was before the light rail came in. You had that little gazebo. You could walk to work.
You didn't,
but you could have, and it'd get...
Sometimes.
At least, I'm just kidding. You do whatever the fuck you want. You work hard for the money.
Well, there was, three bars within walking distance?
Exactly. Well, and there was parks, so we took parks. the kids loved
the fact that we could just walk to the park.
It was awesome, and there was always something going on, mm-hmm. some kind of festival, or we would dress up in a theme, maybe for a reason, maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe
it was super fun. Yeah,
good food, good friends, good vibes. Hey, I just made a commercial for something. Good friends, good food, good vibes. Lisa and Daryl's house.
Tonight is kind of special.
Yeah, I had another bad one that was more funny and less murdery. So when Travis and I moved into Jefferson at City Gates, which is called something else now, it was a brand new building. I think we were actually the second occupants. The first people only stayed there 6 months or something. But I'd always lived in the suburbs, like Thornton. I think I was moving from Thornton with Karen. Mm-hmm. And in Arvada with Corey and what have you. But anyway, so he was living downtown and he's like, yeah, we should get this apartment. I'm like, cool, let's do that. And anyway, there were so many neat things about it, but we moved in and it was very, very modern and lofty. Mm-hmm. And you could walk everywhere in the city. It was when the city was fun. There was a really scary underpass right next to us that he's like, don't walk that by yourself. I'm like, good idea. But anyway, I remember the first night we moved in there, he's like, we need to find our local bar. Let's go belly up. And this was before we were both raging alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we're walking along and we see a beer sign in a bar and we go in. And I remember it was the spring because it was Lent and I had given up meat. And so I ordered the nachos and the nachos were this fucking big. And so we're sitting there eating nachos and drinking beer or whatever. And the waitress or bartender, Robin Hollywood, she says, hey, do you know Chris Fuselier? I said, I sure do. And she goes, well, he owns this place and he wants to talk to you. Mm. And so that's how I got my job at Blake Street.
Oh, Tavern. Wow. Uh-huh. What was the name of the bar?
Blake Street Tavern.
Oh.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, but I was working for the real estate appraiser way down south in Highlands Ranch. And so anyway, because Travis and I moved to the city, that's how I found out about Blake Street Tavern. And it was just a crazy thing.
It was a different bar and Chris owned another one.
How did you know Chris before that?
The strip club. I worked at Cheerleaders.
Right, yeah,
at the bartender.
Uh-huh. So he's seen you in there and went, hey, that's Shells.
Exactly. And I was like, I need some extra money because I'm not, you know, getting paid very much at this gig that's a 30-mile commute each way.
Where were you working?
At the real estate appraiser out of that guy's house, mm-hmm. which had its own sets of challenges and joys. But anyway, he goes, but you just have to start from scratch. I bartended for this guy for 7, 8, 9 years. And then he's like, you have to host first and then you can serve and then you can bartend. And so anyway, I was bartending within a couple weeks or a couple months.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I was just used to that. But then, you know, their managers were dropping like flies and stuff. And so then I was the events manager, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The rest is history. Mm-hmm. So anyway, about the city, living in the city. I met him when I was 33, something like it was 2004, however old I was then.
Okay.
Fresh out of high school.
But we move into this apartment right on the outskirts of downtown, and we were like the oldest ones, right? But we were on the third floor, and it was Hollywood, and it was glamorous, and it was whatever. And then we got Sparkles, and that was a whole other thing, which was great. But anyway, any given day, any fucking given day, whatever time of day or night that we came home, there would be these drunk kids, like in their 20s, peeing in the stairwell.
Oh, come on.
People have peed in the hallways, they're peeing in the whatever. And it's like, I get it if your dog has an accident. I don't get it if your child has an accident or you're grown ass. You're paying rent. You're peeing in your own house. What are you mm-hmm. doing?
So dumb.
Yeah, so dumb. So anyway.
The only thing I remember about that apartment was it seems like there was a lot of stairs. Like
there was tons of stairs. And when I got Sparkles, I lost like 15, 20 pounds.
Because there was
to go
no,
out every hour.
Yeah, there was no
elevators.
Elevators anything. I just felt like the first time I went there, I was like, when will we be there?
I know.
It's exhausting.
Oh my God. We were on the third floor It was right off Brighton Boulevard downtown.
Do you remember when we, Tom bought karaoke?
Yeah.
Yeah. To Shelley's
apartment. Yeah, you guys had underground parking, or you had a park garage.
We did have a parking garage. Right, yeah. And we had a teeny tiny little balcony that maybe fit three people if you were all standing mm-hmm. up and dieting. It was the last place I ever smoked in.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, God, we're spending so much money at the time. I think it was $1,900 a month. And that was in 2005.
Wow.
2006.
Wow.
It was like, I couldn't even believe it. And I'm like, why are you smoking in here? This is a palace. What are we doing? But that's I'm like, funny. If you can't beat him, join him. And I lit it up off the stove.
Right.
Half the time, off the stove.
That's what my mom used to do, off the burners of the stove.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I was just telling, I think that this is how Daryl got the idea. Were we talking about, my story about the lady who came to the trailer park, and that's we should do a neighbor's show.
Exactly.
Okay, I can't wait.
Oh my goodness. You've probably heard it, but it's Oh, God. Okay, so when we lived in the trailer park, along with some other crazy stuff that happened, but this is one of the craziest. So Daryl and I, it was quite late, like 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we were up, I think, watching TV or something. We get a knock at the door. So let me backtrack. There was a woman who lived with we had this neighbor named Carol, and she was an older woman, probably in her 60s or 70s. And she had let this other lady, let's call her Jane. I don't really know what her name was. But so she let Jane live with her. And we didn't really know Jane. We would maybe wave. She lived there for a while. We'd see her walk by. She was kind of stuck in the 80s. She had like the big, like, feathered back hair, and she probably was in her late 40s and 50s. We were probably in our 30s. Every now and again, we'd see Jane at different people's houses doing like odd jobs outside.
Like mowing lawns and stuff. Yeah,
she'd be painting somebody's house and then mowing somebody's lawn and then tending to these people's flowers or whatever. And you just kind of, hi, because I walked my dogs twice a day. So I'd like walk around there. So, anyways, so we get a knock on our door about 11 o'clock at night, and Daryl opens the door, and Jane comes busting in.
She just walks right in, pushes me out of the doorway, and walks right in the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
She sits, and we had like this little love seat. She sits on
that
the end
seat
of
right there.
Yeah, right there. That's funny. She sat on the end of it, and she's had white shorts on, and her shorts were completely bloody. Like, not overly bloody.
But
like, I thought she
battered.
Yes. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't think she was going to die and stuff, but she kind of had some abrasions on her and stuff. And, I'm like, Jane, what's going on? You know, like, what is happening? And she's like, I need somewhere to sleep. I'm gonna sleep right here. Nope. And she kept like scooting, like off
like
the
sliding
side,
down.
Sliding down. And I'm like, no, sit up. Cause I'm like, I don't want your blood all over
the couch.
Yes. First of all, second of all, we need to make sure you're okay. And third of all, you're not sleeping here. And she's trashed.
Yep.
And she's like, I'm like, why are you bleeding? Where are you bleeding from? And she's like, I was, Carol kicked me out of her house. And so my son came to get me and, he took me, but then he got mad at me and he pushed me out of the car. And that's why she's bleeding. And I'm
her
like,
son pushed her out of the car.
I guess.
In her version of events.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if this is true or not. That's what she says.
Whoa.
And that's why she's all bleeding and abrasive. So I'm like, okay, sit right there. You can't stay here. Like, should I call? Like, do you have anybody else I can call? Like, what should I do? She's like, it's fine. I'll just sleep here. And then she kept like falling back. I'm like, no, get up. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. Daryl, just watch her. I'm going to go to Carol's and see what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. So I go over to Carol's house and knock on the door. Now, whilst I'm waiting for Carol and she's coming to the door, this Jane is over trying to seduce my husband.
Oh.
So she starts taking off her pants.
Hey.
And she's just
her
like.
Bloody pants.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, look at this. You know, like a her hoo-ha.
Could you imagine if flirting was that easy?
And
hey,
Daryl's like.
Look at this.
And Daryl's like, no.
Put that up.
Put that back in, you know, and stuff.
Put that back in.
Yeah, and
don't you give me no lip over here.
And, you know, this and that. So he's trying to keep her from taking off her clothes. I'm on Carol's porch and Carol comes to the door and she's like, I mean, and it's midnight by this time, at least maybe later. And she's like, what's up? And I was like, your freaking roommate is in my house and she's trash. And she's like, she's not my roommate. I kicked her out. And I was like, well, I don't know anything about her and she needs to not be in my house. And she's like, well, get her out of your house. And I'm like, you need to like call somebody or do something.
You know more about her than
this
we
do. This is your problem.
Yeah.
And she's like, not my problem anymore. And slams the door on me.
Fuck you.
Yep.
Right. So I turn around to go back to my house, and at the bottom of the stairs is Jane and Daryl. And Daryl's like, hi, because he's like really uncomfortable because she keeps trying
I just grabbed her by the hand and said, come on, let's go. Let's mm-hmm. go. So she got up and she thought, I don't know where she thought we were going, but then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, we're downstairs and across the way.
So I'm up on the top and I'm like, oh, hey, guys, Jane, Carol said you can go back in. And she's like, really? And I go, yeah. She said that you know, you should just go in and you can stay the night here and figure it out in the morning. And she's like, oh, okay, thank you. She gets to the top of the stairs, I get to the bottom, and we run.
We booked it fast.
I was all ass and elbows. You have never seen this little chubby girl run so fast in your life. We run to our house. We jump in the house and lay on the ground with
we shut the lights off. Lock all the doors.
Lock all the doors. Double lock.
Yeah. We left her on the porch. of this woman's house and never found out what happened.
We never did hear the rest of it, but yeah.
That's a good ending.
Yeah,
no, yeah, that was it.
She probably got eaten by a bear.
Gosh.
I mean, I think
nobody would let her in. But it's probably, hey, your life's your own punishment.
The weirdest
Don't be shitty to people.
Happened to me on Carol's porch because one time I went over there for, her dog was, she had this tiny little Shih Tzu that was like half the size of Fiona.
Okay.
And it was in my yard and I should have just kept him because it ended up dying anyways, but whatever. But I grabbed him and I went to take him home and Carol came to the door and she was a hoarder. So she had like paper, like newspapers, like up to the ceiling. And she had like a path that you could just walk through
newspapers. Fire hazard.
Yeah, it was awful. But I'm like, your dog was outside. And she's like, oh, thank you. You know, whatever. Takes the dog and I turn around and there's the world's biggest raccoon at the bottom of the stairs. And I was stuck.
He's all just on all fours. He was on his hind legs. Yeah, I'm just looking up at Lisa.
It had you cornered.
Yeah,
totally.
He had a switchblade and a smoke. What are you going to do?
He was huge, you guys. I mean, I'm talking like half the size of a grown man.
Oh my God.
He was huge.
Lisa.
No, they were pretty big around there.
Like, Shelly, it was like this big.
It was huge. I'm
not kidding. They were huge. And so.
Carol fed him well. He was like, she kicked me out again.
Well, Carol told us, talk about the worst neighbor. Carol told us one time, she's like, do you guys know how to get rid of raccoons? And we're like, no, not really. And she's like, because I have holes in my bathroom floor and they keep looking at me from under the house.
They ate underneath her house in her mobile home. And she goes, their little eyes, they peek up through the floor and look at me while I'm on the pot. And I'm like,
What is happening?
And why are you telling me this?
Oh, God.
So on her porch, like, okay, so the raccoon's at the bottom. And the porch was relatively high.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to say 3 feet.
Yeah, three feet up, and then had a three-foot railing. Yeah. So
I went to the back of the porch, went under the railing, and jumped and ran
because
it was on the other side of this.
Because the raccoon was so scary and big, like a polar bear.
And I thought that maybe if I was on the wrong side, it wouldn't see me run, it wouldn't chase after me.
Yeah.
And stuff, and it didn't. And
it just sat there.
All right, listeners, if you know anything about raccoon behavior, I'm looking at you, Marcia. Do they chase people?
They're very aggressive.
They will
go
after you.
Yeah.
They're very cute, but they're very mean.
I know. They look like the Hamburglar.
And I do remember that Daryl wasn't home that night, and so I called him, and I was like, there's a raccoon outside, and it was at Carol's, and I was at Carol's, but now I'm at home, and I think it's outside our door. And he's just laughing at me, and I'm like, it's not funny.
I think it was one of the times I was at Michael's.
I think it was before that.
Okay.
It was like in
probably at John's or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So to speak of the raccoons, right when we were beginning to move out of that mobile home,
mm-hmm.
they decided they were kind of pissed we were leaving. They started doing shit to our house.
Uh-huh.
And they were getting up, they'd get up under the mobile homes have like a belly underneath them.
Yeah.
Dug through and were lit. Getting, they would be underneath the front bedroom, and you could feel them hitting the floor.
Well,
crackheads.
My two Bella and Tila were too old; they couldn't hear them. But Fiona was just a puppy, so she would scratch
at the floor,
trying to get in all night long.
She could hear them.
Oh my god!
So I could sleep.
Oh my god! They smelled musky.
And then I'm like,
oh my god, we're not going to be able to sell this place because they're going to fuck it up for us, you know. So we're moving stuff. Lisa was at work. We got one of those
cats.
We got a pod, and it was in the front of our house. Well, I was loading it up and stuff. I went in and I was doing the high and tight loading up stuff. You know, right, nice. Same thing. I turn around and there's a big freaking raccoon standing at the door. So I climbed up inside there and I had my phone, thank God. And I called Lisa. I go, where are you? She goes, well, I'm kind of close. I go, hurry and get here. I said, when you get here, just lay on the horn. I said, I'm trapped.
So I had to, like, I, like, drove up with my lights on, and I saw the raccoon, but I was like,
and he goes like this, flips her off.
Were they just fearless, or did he finally leave?
He finally left, but he was, they were pretty fearless. He was kind of like, all right, whatever,
like
madam.
Like a goose or a turkey. Madam.
God,
What was the name of that guy? And maybe you mentioned him earlier, but he didn't really have a home there. He had like a an underground bunker, and he'd just sit down there and drink beer. And
Oh no, he lived in a
He lived at his mother's house. He was in a trailer of his mother's, but he had a camper out in the driveway in the front of his mom's place. And so me and my buddy Juan, we'd always come in. We'd see the light on it, and I'd be like, Juan, one time he goes, I wonder what that guy does in there. I go, I don't know. It's snowing like a son of a bitch. He goes, let's go find out. So he pulls over in front of the guy's house. We go knock on the door, and the guy opens up the door, and it looked like something out of Cheech and Chong. It wasn't like pot smoke, but the guy was in there. He's a chain smoker.
Yes.
All the smoke floors up, and he's like, hey, fellas, what's happening? And we're like, we just kind of been wondering what you're doing here. So he goes, well, come on in, have beer. That's how he talked. He had this really raspy voice.
Uh-huh.
So we go inside. We're sitting in this, like, he goes, well, hey, which one of you fellas can run me up to the liquor store? I need to get some more beers.
Uh-huh.
And Juan goes, I'll take you. So they're gone. So they come back. He comes back with a case of Michelob Amber. That's what he drank.
Interesting.
And he's stocking up his little fridge. He goes, well, my ma doesn't let me drink it in the house, so I can sit out here and drink and smoke. And he's like 60 years old. And
oh,
I'm like,
God. And my mom doesn't let me drink in the house.
Yeah.
We also, right next to his house, there was this lady that we all called Nasty Nancy.
Oh, God.
And she was the, like, local drug dealer. Everybody knew that she dealt drugs and stuff. You just, I don't know how I knew, but you knew. And
I know how you knew.
We were never into meth, per se.
We didn't mess around with that stuff.
But I, you know, that was another one, because I always walked the dogs around, and she was in my path of walking.
Sure.
She had a really nice son who was our son's age, and he was nice, but she was gross. And one day I was walking by, and there was all kinds of crime tape.
Well, no, the coroner's truck was there.
Yeah, but and there was crime tape in the corner. And I'm like, what the hell, you know, this net. So I came home, and I was like, there's like a crime tape in a coroner's truck at Nasty Nancy's house. And Daryl's like, oh, that's weird, whatever. And so we're trying to figure it out. Well, Christina, our middle daughter, was living with us, and she was working at Jay's, which is a restaurant up the street. Mm-hmm. And apparently somebody who lived closer to Nancy knew what was going on. Apparently, she wanted to get out of the biz.
Oh.
Yeah, the drug dealing biz.
Oh, once you get in, you can't get out.
Well, yeah, she used to make the meth in her shed.
Okay.
And the shed burnt down because of, and so.
Science?
Yeah, science.
Mm-hmm. Bad science.
And so her boyfriend was like, okay, well, you know, we got to find somewhere else to do this. And she was like, yeah, I think I'm just done. Like, that's a sign from God.
Yeah.
I'm like 107, and I probably shouldn't be making meth anymore. And he was like, well, I guess then I should just probably kill you. And so he murdered her, apparently slept with her dead body all night. Then he
said
went
one
to
last
his
time.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that was gross. Yeah. Whether or not that's true, I don't know.
No, that's what, yeah.
But then went to his girlfriend's house.
No.
And because he had two girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
Told her
what he had done.
I killed Nancy, going to the bar and took off, and said girlfriend, then called the police, and he got arrested.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was
crazy. And the sad part about it is her son was at the house, and the cops showed up, and they knocked on the door, and he answers the door. He goes, yeah, I can. Yeah. And he goes, is your mom here? And he goes, yeah, she's back in her room sleeping, though. And
the guy
he goes, well, we're doing a wellness check. He goes, can we go back and check on her to make sure she's sleeping? He goes, yeah, she's going to be pissed, though. So they went back there, and they're like, okay. And they came back, and they're like, yeah.
This isn't morbid curiosity, but it adds to the story. How did he kill her? Did you say?
Strangled her.
Strangulation. Oh, yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But anyways,
Yeah, we started that. We had to get out of that neighborhood because people were just dying all over the place.
Oh my gosh.
We had a guy down the street from us die. Then we were gone for the 4th of July weekend. I don't even know where we went. Mm. And we came back, and the neighbor that lived across the street from us hung himself. Oh, and was in there for a week and didn't even know.
Nobody knew
that he had he'd hung himself.
Oh my God.
I think Carol checked on him to see and ended up finding him.
It was kind of getting crazy. I'm like,
you should probably go. Let's take this as a sign.
We should get out of here.
Well, and let's talk about the craziest neighbor in that trailer park. So there was a guy, we've probably talked about this before, but there was a guy who would wear a flight suit and ride a motorcycle. He rode a Goldwing.
Okay.
And he had like all these flags on his motorcycle. And he, so again, like I said, I walked the dog several times a day because we didn't have a fence. So they had to go potty. And I was walking them by his house, and he, over a loudspeaker on top of his house, was like, "You better not let those dogs piss in my yard.
Yeah, clean up the dog piss."
And I'm like, dude, it's pee. How do I? And
he's exactly.
He's like, "If you better not, I'm watching you." You know, no pee, no poop, this and that. And I was like, oh my God. So then one time, he was on his motorcycle, and there's this little dog named Milo that followed me around all the time because his owners had, Alzheimer's and couldn't remember to put him in the front or the back, so that she'd just let him out the front
door.
And then he'd just end up at my house.
Yeah.
So I'd take him home all the time. And, So I'm walking Bella Tila, and Milo's following me, and a paratrooper guy was on his motorcycle, and he came over, and he's like, "Whose dog is that?" And he pointed to Milo, and I said, "It's the lady down the street. I'm taking him home." And he goes, "Well, you better get him home and tell them not to let him out again, because you'll find him in the fucking dumpster." He's like, "He's been shitting in my yard." And I was like, "You know what? It's not his fault. It's their fault for not keeping him in the yard."
Yes.
I said, "He shouldn't be, you know." And he's like, "Well, I don't give a shit. It's not happening, blah, blah, blah." So anyways, then I went and took Milo back to the old lady's house, and apparently her daughter dealt drugs too.
Not in a trailer park.
No. Come on.
So I had got there at the same time a bunch of kids were there to buy some meth, and I kind of knew what was going on. But then I was like, but I really got to take this dog back. So I'm sitting and we're knocking on the door, and there's like these three boys that are like looking at me, and I was like, why are you here? I mean, I don't care why you're here. I mean, I don't know why you're here. I mean, yes, obviously he's just a friend of yours, right? You know, what are you doing? And they're like, just looking at me like crazy woman. And I was like, maybe she's not home. And they're like, "We just called her. She's home." And I'm like, okay. So I'm just like holding this dog.
Waiting in line.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah. So she finally comes to the door. She looks at them like, "I've been expecting you." But she looks at me like, "What the fuck are you doing with my dog?" And she has an ankle bracelet on. So she can't
come out.
Yes.
And so I start handing her the dog. And I'm like, "Hey, I just came over here because I have your dog, and I know that you're busy." Well, I don't really know what you're busy with. I don't know what you're doing and stuff. I really don't know what's happening at all. And these guys were here, but I don't know. They're probably just friends of yours. Whatever and stuff. It's probably nothing legal or whatever. But anyways, the guy that wears a paratrooper outfit, he said that he was going to kill your dog, and he's a really nice dog, and I think that you should just really keep him inside and not put him outside anymore. So anyway, here's your dog, and go about doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, not anything illegal or anything. I mean, I know it's totally fine. You know, what are you ever doing? Bye.
Who's the tweaker in this moment?
And she's just looking. And I kept like handing her the dog,
and then
pulling it back, and then handing it to her and pulling it back.
Because you know the dog's not in a really healthy situation.
Oh, my God. It was so she finally took it. I'm walking back to my house, and I'm dying. Because I was like, what just happened? She probably was like, what the hell just happened? Like, everybody on that porch was like,
"Well, no." The kids go, "We'll have whatever she just."
No shit.
She just got.
I forgot that you used to do that. Like, for decades, you would just like talk until you just ran out of words.
Because
you were nervous.
I get so nervous that I would like start saying things. And I was like, "I know that you're,
she still does it."
Oh my God!
Not that there's anything wrong with that, except for
everybody needs to make a buck. But does it pay well? I wonder. Does it? Because I could get into that.
You can't come out here. Here's the dog. I'm going to give it to you because you have the ankle bracelet on. It's fine. I mean, I didn't notice you had an ankle bracelet on. I mean, I just kind of knew it.
Yeah, it's just a nice piece of machinery that you have as an accessory to your lower regions.
It was horrible. So, yeah, that was that crazy place.
Yeah, that was a crazy time living there. And we moved from there. We got out here. Shell, you got more?
I have a good neighbor one, but I think we should end there because that's fucking great.
Perfect. But yeah, we got out here and we only had one kind of a weird neighbor, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
And
what did Jim do?
He was just the guy that knew everything that went on in the neighborhood because he was one of the new guys. And kind of like
no,
just,
he was one of the old.
Well,
guys.
I mean, what, not one. I'm not one of the new guys.
He was an OG.
Was one of the original guys out here,
and kind of lonely, but he's a know-it-all.
And had it was after COVID or during COVID and stuff. So he would try and tell me the do's and don'ts, this and that, ins and outs, blah blah blah. And one time I was watering, and I guess I had forgot to shut the water off, and so it ran and ran. So he told me, he goes, God, I wish I had your money to just be able to water the whole night and the sidewalk and everything else. And I go, I just accidentally left the water. I said, now I'm going to be in cahoots with the wife.
Yeah.
But, you know, luckily time came, you know, that him and his wife were like snowbirds. They'd go different places and stuff. And they came back one time and I noticed he was back. So I said, hey, I called him up. Hey, Jim, you know, what are you up to? He goes, oh, just moving. I go, well, that's good. I said, it's always good to keep moving, you know, this and that. I said, you got to keep your legs and everything moving. He goes, no, I'm moving, leaving, moving.
I'm moving away.
And yeah. I go, oh, wow. I go, well, I just called to ask you, you know, do you know how to turn the water on? I said, I need to get my water on over here. He goes, well, seems as how you weren't too interested in my story about me moving. He goes, I was going to come over and turn your water on for you, but seems as how you couldn't take the time to listen to what I had to say. He goes, I'm not going to help you, and just hung up on me. And I'm like, okay, wow. So that was pretty abrupt.
Guess who I don't miss.
But luckily, the people that live directly across from us, Bill and Michelle, I love them to death. They are just the funnest people. We've become really good friends. His dad's the one that
is
Bailey.
A new listener.
He's a listener. Yeah. So,
love it.
But I just love those two. And then our next door neighbors, Nick and Jane, and all the kids. We love them.
Not same Jane.
No, but they have all the
little doggies. Yes.
Yeah, they have the bulldogs and stuff. But yeah, same thing. You know, they're the one. Like I said, he called the other night. Can you go check on the kids and stuff like that? And yeah. When I got back here, I wrote him. I said, you know, hey, everything's good over there. You know, your son's a trip. Blah blah blah. I got to fist pump all my guys. You know, and say hi and stuff. And he goes, oh, you don't know how much I appreciate that. And I said, well, that's what family's for.
That's right.
You know.
Are you careful with your new neighbors that you like to ask them questions about themselves and let them finish?
Yeah.
The moving away guy sounds really sensitive.
I just don't talk anymore.
He was really kind of abrupt, huh?
Yeah.
And I mean, when I asked him one time, I said, hey, you know, because we didn't know anybody else yet. I hadn't met Bill and Michelle yet, and Nick and Jane didn't live there yet. Another guy lived there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, we're going to go on vacation. And I said, my sprinkler system's not working. It's not up yet. You know, I said, could you water my lawn? And I said, I'll pay you. And he goes, oh, not a problem, neighbor. I like doing stuff like that. Yeah, I'll water.
Oh, you got water and lawn money now. Yeah, so, which I was at, Randy.
So, yeah, he watered the lawn. Well, that's when he was nice. But
yeah,
it was later on.
Yeah, I made a little charcuterie basket and everything.
Yeah, it was later on when he turned on us.
Yeah,
kinda
it was
got
weird.
Really weird on us. And I'm like, okay.
It was almost like he was mad that we made other friends.
Yeah.
Like he wanted us to be his only friend. Because he had told us that he had kind of gotten blackballed out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because everybody thought he was a dick.
Yeah, and he thought he could poach you guys as newbies.
I think he goes, ooh, I got new people. But yeah, once he see me talking to the other neighbors around, even talking to the one neighbor that he didn't like that lived next
to the street,
catty corner from him, and he's like, oh God, those people are the worst over there. And I'm like, oh, they're really nice kids. I like them.
He
you
got
know?
Jelly.
Yeah, so I think so. He got a little.
Yeah.
Pussy hurt.
Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah.
Well, those are our crazy neighbor stories.
Shelly, you got one, don't you?
No, it's just I loved my landlord was my neighbor, and he always watched. We always swapped dogs. Mm-hmm. They were out of town all the time. They would like hike Everest and do whatever, but they would come and watch Sparkles, and we would watch Lucy, and they were the best neighbors of all times.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Is that the one that, so the last one, that your neighbor?
In the townhomes.
Is that the one that owns the townhomes?
Yeah.
Is that the guy that has the Frisco house?
Yeah. Well, talk about a great neighbor. He lets us rent out his house in the mountains.
Beautiful, beautiful house, man. That was incredible time up there.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
No, you got to keep him close.
Keep him in your back.
Keep him close. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Good dude.
But well, yeah, just a little bit of all our craziness we've gone through.
Yeah.
Yes. As Ned Flanders would say, hey, neighborino.
Yeah. Heidly ho.
Heidly ho.
We will be back with our wow guys.
Sunny day, Are doing it now. We talk about music, pets, and stupid criminals. This is the Wow.
Alrighty, guys, back after the Wow song. Man, that thing's jumpy.
Like a raccoon.
It is. It'll smoke your raccoon stuff. Anyway, after all that neighbor hoodly hoo, and I just talk like the one neighbor said, "Hey, boys, come on in." Kind of sound like Beetlejuice.
Oh,
that's a hard thing to do, man. That jacks up
your... Could you imagine having to do a whole movie like that?
No.
Oh, no way.
Gosh. Anywho, so, you know, this is our little favorite segment, and we get to talk about silly little stuff here and there. So, who would like to go first this week?
I'll go.
Oh.
Right. So, I have stupid criminals. I don't necessarily know if... I mean, I guess all criminals are stupid if they get caught, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Gotta be.
But this is a criminal, and it just struck my fancy as being haha funny. Hold on. Let me clear my throat. Kids watch Chuck E. Cheese mascot get arrested for credit card fraud. Kids in Tallahassee got more than just pizza and tokens. They watched the actual Chuck E. Cheese get arrested during a birthday party. 40-year-old Jamal Jones at Chuck E. Cheese employee was taken into custody while wearing the mouse costume, according to accused of stealing a mom's child support debit card during a party on June 28th. Over $100 in charges later, cops tracked him down using store surveillance footage. When police arrested Jones, allegedly tried to hide by suiting up. But officers walked right up and said to the now iconic line, "Chucky, come with me." Jones was charged with multiple felonies and released on a $1,000 bond. As one TikToker commentator put it, "The saddest pizza party since Showbiz Pizza closed."
Oh, man.
So I have pictures. Here is Sam. Yes.
Arresting no.
Chuck E.
Cheese.
What would we
do without dumb criminals? That just makes
Chuck
my day.
Be?
Oh, man. There's a gigantic furry mouse with his hands behind his back and
look how happy he is there. Like, Chucky's like...
Well, you can't change the smile. I
know. Oh, my God. That's so good.
That is incredible, Lisa.
There you go.
So good.
Nice. What do you got, Shells?
I want to be a bookend. Can you go next?
Yeah,
is that okay?
Yeah, I got music this week, but I'm going to... I guess it's not changing up. It's music related. And, you know, I'm still kind of really on the sad part of the Ozzy Osbourne passing away. It's still kind of so surreal to me and this and that. So still Facebook is still flooded, flooded with, you know, stuff about him and everything. Well, one of my friends, good friends that I grew up with since I've known her since the fifth grade, we call each other, I call her Jenny. And she calls me Forrest because we would see each other at the oddest places throughout our life,
oh,
you know,
perfect.
And I mean, all the time see each other. So I said, "You're my Jenny." And she goes, "Well, okay, you're my Forrest," you know. So she wrote me the other night and she goes, we were talking about Ozzy's passing and stuff. And she goes, "So Forrest, have you seen the basement tapes, Ozzy's basement tapes?" And I go, "I haven't." And she goes, "Oh, God, you got to go watch it. It's the family rewatching certain parts of the Osbourne show."
Whoa.
From MTV. And she goes, and they have a lady that's, you know, that does the commentary and ask him, you know, Ozzy had never seen any of the shows.
Wow.
No clips, nothing. So they go back and they're watching.
It's a segment or episode by episode.
Yeah, episode by episode. And they talk about, she picks out certain stuff she wants to talk about and funny stuff, you know. So she goes, you know, it's on Prime. And I'm like, "Oh, I don't have Prime." Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Well, you know," she goes, let me talk to my daughter. I can give you my Prime thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I got to looking at it. You can get stuff on Prime for free.
Yeah.
You don't need to have Prime. You can still watch some of the stuff on there. And this show actually happens to be one that's on the free side of it.
Awesome.
And it's the basement tapes, the Osbournes basement tapes. It's been one of the most enjoyable things mm-hmm. to watch. It's hilarious. Seeing Ozzy laugh and smile will just melt your heart. I forgot what a great smile he had.
Yes.
It's at the time when he's Parkinson's pretty bad.
I think it's from last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Kelly's son is born in 2021 or something, 22. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it was last year's, but it's hard to understand, but it's so funny to watch Jack and everybody else because they look right at their dad and he's all, and they go, yeah, we remember that time. You know, so they kind of had to learn his language.
Yeah.
But then there's times when it's like his brain is fine and he can talk, you know, clearly.
Whoa.
But some of the stuff that, because we were avid fans of the Osbournes. Mm-hmm. Our son Brett lived with us at the time and we watched it like mad. Okay. But to watch their reactions and this and that, and Jack Osbourne should be a fucking comedian.
He's funny.
Well, weren't they kids at the time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were 15 and 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Kelly Osbourne is like.
And they're 39 they're and 40 now.
Yeah.
Wow. I remember when you guys were watching it, you said how funny they were.
Well, and I think that what's funny now is watching Kelly watch herself and she's like, is it weird that I have no recollection of this time?
She blocked out a lot.
Yeah, she's just like, why is my leg broken?
Well, and then there's Jack. Yeah. There's Jack that remembers every second of mm-hmm. every moment.
Oh,
and he'll
gosh.
Even call. He'll go, look at the clock behind. It's 2 a.m. and we're up all bullshitting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's funny because how he's a totally different person. He's real respectful. He's a great family man. I mean, yes, you know, he's been married twice. I don't know what went on with his first marriage, but he's remarried.
Those people.
And so, yeah.
It's their fault.
And he's got four daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, but he sits there and goes, you know what makes me mad? Because I wish I would have had more structure in my life.
Aww.
Well, the thing that's funny is watching, like, they're like, we're going to the club, and they're 15 and 16. And they're like,
they're going to the rainbow, and they're like,
and oh my Kelly's God. Like, Mom, why did you let us go there? That's ridiculous. Like, and Sharon's like, because you would have went anyway. What was it going to do if I both said no?
Well, yes. The funny thing was, she goes, we knew everybody that owned the club. She goes, they were kind of like our babysitters.
Yeah,
like,
they
were
going
to let nothing happen to our kids,
mm-hmm. awesome.
You know? And then she goes, but that's how I was raised. She goes, that's how your pop-pop. She goes, her dad was a manager. And so she goes, that's how I was raised. She goes, right. I was in and out of bars when I was 4, 5, 6 years old. She goes, so I didn't know no different life either.
And yeah. The 70s, 80s, 90s, it didn't seem
and
that
so,
weird.
But it's so funny because they go, we couldn't do that now. She goes, they're like, L.A. is not what it used to be. L.A. used to be a safe place. Everybody knew everybody. They go, you can't do that here in L.A. now.
No, and especially with kids. They're just so taken advantage of.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, it's my music part, but I say if you ever had any likings of the Osbournes and want a good Chuck, Tummy Chuck.
Tummy Chuck.
A good Tummy Chuck.
Even if you don't like the music,
it has nothing to do with the music.
The dynamic is hilarious.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with his music. It's just him and everything that
I think we're on the third one or the fourth one, but it's when they get in a fight with their neighbors and Sharon throws a ham over the
motherfucking ham.
Yes.
She threw a motherfucking ham
over the
fence. There happened to be a glass table there and you hear this click.
And it was funny because the reason they're mad at their neighbors is because they're playing music too loud.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. And it's more,
the guy,
it was like, we got the whole world.
They were doing weird kumbaya stuff.
So like wholesome music.
Yeah.
Yes, but loud. But, and they couldn't sleep.
That's what Jack goes, because they're out there playing kumbaya music, but at the top of it could be, but they come to find out the guy was in a band. He was in Simply Red.
Oh, no way.
And they're like, he sucked.
Yeah.
Was
it
the lead singer?
No, it was,
some
I don't
other
know what
guy
it was, just
band.
A guy, but he tried to branch off, but Sharon's all, you're over there living on mommy and daddy's money. And she's all, you know, she goes, don't you people realize we have to get up in the morning and go to church?
She goes, we have church at noon if you'd like to go with us.
Oh my God.
And then she's in the house just laughing. And she's like, I told him we were going to church tomorrow. Why did I say that?
But the kid goes, you know, we know who you are.
Right.
You know, you're rock stars. And we love Ozzy. They go, it's you we don't like.
to Sharon.
Oh, no, you did.
It's so crazy how many people did not like Sharon. Osbourne.
I think I would have dug her.
Herself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would have dug her.
It was pretty funny because they were talking about different people, and Jack just rips the shit out at Nikki Six of what a piece of shit he is.
Yeah. Well, not surprising. Yeah. Selfish and all that.
Just he goes, one person that did not like Mom is Nikki Six. He goes, he's a fucking douche himself. Is that? I was like, yeah, you go, buddy.
It's an interesting show.
But yeah, it's a great watch.
And when that came out, wasn't it true, too, as one of the very first reality shows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it wasn't as scripted.
Nothing was scripted. They had nothing. They go,
it was
genuine
from what I understand.
We're just going to set cameras up in your house. You just walk through the house. They go, it got to the point we walked around them. We didn't even realize, what was going on.
Right.
But they got the idea from an episode of Cribs.
I'll be darned.
And they go, we could probably do something with this. And that MTV goes, and that's how Ozzy became the first.
Yeah, it was one of the first families that, like, before the Kardashians
did anything like that.
And all that stuff. I mean, I think the only other reality show that there was at the time was, like, Survivor, you know, which was like and The Real World.
The Real World is what I can say. But it's lots of fun.
Good one, Daryl. Yes, thank you. I do want to watch that. I didn't know it was on Prime.
Yeah. Well, and I think you could watch it on YouTube, too.
Originally, when it came out, what was it on?
Because MTV.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of streaming stations.
Yeah.
Very well done, both of you.
Thanks.
However, I'm going to beat you.
Oh!
My wow, or well of wisdom, all of a sudden I'm getting all these things in my feed about interesting animals, and I'm just loving this so, so, so much. So thank you for playing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to highlight two animals today. And both of these animals are being sneaky little dicks to get their way. And
damn,
I love
raccoons.
It. Okay, Lisa, what is my favorite animal to talk about on this show?
Frogs.
Or?
Turtles.
Fish. Or?
Pigs.
Or?
I don't know.
Okay.
Crabs.
So,
crabs.
A Peruvian spider builds lifelike replicas of itself within its web to distract and confuse predators. So this
he
little
makes
bastard,
mannequins?
No, check it out. So he wove a spider into the spider web. So the web in this one part is in the shape of a spider. And he's like, hey, I'm going out for milk, but will you watch the web for me, mate?
Or he's like, get this guy, not me, little bird.
That's right, because that's how Peruvians talk.
Uh-huh.
Peruvian spiders. Yeah. But check it out. We'll put it on the thing.
Yeah.
But the spider weaves a fake spider into the web so he can go fuck off and
that must be Charlotte.
Errand.
I didn't know Charlotte was Peruvian.
It's impressive.
It is.
What is it? That's one classy pig.
Uh-huh.
But you did get it right with one of the other animals that I'm going to talk about that is also sneaky and tricky.
Oh.
And it is a frog. In particular, it is a female frog who fakes their own death to avoid ugly males.
Oh, that's happened to me tons of times.
She's on her back, white belly up, and she's like, not today, bitch.
Never stop me.
She should be on her front then.
Yes. And so this is from National Geographic, and the picture is just hilarious. The other frog, which every single frog looks the same.
Yeah.
But this frog is just like, wow, I really thought I had a chance. But check her out. She's like, no.
Look at dude.
She's actually really alive. And the other guy's like, I didn't think I was that ugly.
She's just not in the mood.
No.
But she hurt his feelers. And so frogs and spiders, sometimes they're being deceptive.
Yeah. So that guy went back home and his buddy goes, so how'd your day go? He goes, she croaked.
He's like, would you like a glass of bug juice? Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
That's
so
amazing.
Anyway, that is my well of wisdom about sneaky animals.
Awesome.
Yes. You guys, don't forget that if you're a Patreon, you don't have to listen to the ads for the show. And so join Patreon for only $5 a month. And you can also, if you join at the $20 level, you can get the show a day early. We are also having our end of summer Patreon party with all the levels of Patreon being invited to the Brown Palace, which isn't the Brown Palace downtown.
No.
With afternoon tea. It's the one that's in Reunion that Daryl
we'll
and I
will serve some cold tea.
Yes. And it's going to be a potluck, but we're going to have the main food. And so come to that and it'll be fun. That's on August 30th.
Play games.
Yep. And then when this comes out, that's pretty darn soon. So mm-hmm. if you haven't joined the Patreon yet, go to our website, goodwitch.com. www.patreon.com/badwitch.com. It's on the upper right corner. Join Patreon, I believe. Mm-hmm. At any level, you're invited. And then also, just out of politeness, because we're goddamn adults, maybe message Lisa and Daryl on the Facebook or Instagram and let them know if you're coming.
Yes. Yes.
So we can be prepared.
I got a cute story. So I was talking to Amanda Reed yesterday. Mm-hmm. And she goes, even though I'm in the $20 spot, I can listen to the show on Tuesday. She goes, I can't do it.
She goes,
it's Witchy Wednesday. I can't watch it. You know, it's not Witchy Tuesday. She goes, so I'm not going to do it. I go, I was thinking the same thing, honey. I go, but that's cool. Yeah.
Bless
so,
her heart.
So cool.
Yes. Well, we sure appreciate all of you. That was a really fun episode, Daryl. Thank you for letting us bitch about Neighbors and also give Neighbors props who have always helped us out.
Right.
It's nice to be part of a community in a neighborhood. But Sesame Street, Lisa, yeah. I think you were right on the money there. That would be the way to go. Yeah. Mr. Hooper, he's always sweeping. The ground was spotless in front of the grocery store.
Did you ever see anybody paying for their groceries?
No.
No, they just went in and came out.
Mm-hmm. That's my kind of neighborhood.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. No bad King Supers for them.
No.
Anyway, there's just one bad King Supers. The rest of them are fine.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening, guys. And also, if you think about it, stay witchy, my friends.
Mwah.
That was supposed to be a frog. That didn't work. Ribbit. That was a chicken frog. Stay bitchy.
Oh, no. Must be the season.